Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths, a man and a woman.
For a Christian, the attitude we have towards this pandemic is completely different than it is for the rest of the world around us. The rest of the world around us does not live with hope. And so for them, safety is the highest good.
When you study biblical chronology, and if you're very careful about it and use careful use of the ancient sources, what you find out is the Bible is accurate over and over again.
I think really that the only two logical and reasonable options are to say Jesus claimed to be God, and either he understood himself to be God or he was lying about being God.
This is Nancy from Fort Wayne. I listen to Issues while being isolated with the COVID virus. I am so thankful to have this program to help pass the time away.
Judges chapter 4 begins this way, and the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. He was not a nice guy. He reigned for 20 years, and then it says in verse 4, Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at that time. The story of the judge Deborah is interesting. All the judges in some way carry out this same pattern that the people disobey. God punishes them, usually with some sort of foreign power, and the judges from time to time deliver them. So what is Deborah, a woman, all the other judges are men, what is Deborah doing in the line of the judges? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Old Testament prophetess and judge Deborah in Judges 4. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, joins us after that to talk about abortion legislation and its prospects in 2021 and going forward. Dr. Joel Bierman will join us to discuss the virtue of chastity. He says it's not just abstinence. It's not just waiting until marriage. It's much more. And then we'll talk about modesty and dress with Katie Schuerman, author of a column in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled You Are What You Wear. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Old Testament prophetess and judge Deborah, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Many have attempted to use the story of Deborah, a prophetess and a judge in the Old Testament, to support the very modern, very innovative practice of ordaining women to the pastoral office. Can that be done?
Well, it's of some interest to note that the book we're looking at is not called Priests. It's called Judges. And you ask the question, what is Deborah doing in this list of judges? I would ask the same question about Rahab and Ruth. What are these women, not even Jews, they're Gentiles, doing in the line that leads to Jesus? That doesn't make them pastors, etc. And as you indicated about Deborah, verse 4 of chapter 4, now Deborah, a prophetess. Now, when people read the word prophetess, they know that pastors are, in a sense, prophets proclaiming the word of God. And so they might jump to the conclusion that that was what she was, until they keep on reading that she was judging Israel at that time. And the way she did that, and Enduring Faith, I was trying to figure out what their title meant, the Palm Tree Judge. And I figured it out when you read the text. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came to her for judgment. Now, we've got a lot of women judges in the United States of America, and we don't consider them that therefore they should be priests. But let's take a look at this word prophetess. In the New Testament, there's no doubt that the Gospels, Paul, and others are opposed to women pastors. And yet in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, that's when Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, and Simeon says some words to Mary about a sword going to kind of pierce her. But then in verse 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, now here we'd have to change the text if we want women pastors. You'd have to say, coming up at that very hour, she began to criticize God that she wasn't permitted to be a pastor. No, she doesn't say that at all. Coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him in all who were awaiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, she's referred as a prophetess in the same way that Deborah is, but that doesn't mean that either of them are a priest or a pastor. Paul talks about we're all parts of the body. We all have different functions and such. And so it's not at all unusual. I would attend a ladies' aid meeting at the congregations I was at, and I would be suggesting, well, we should be doing this in the church. And then I would hear from the ladies at this meeting if they were in agreement with it or not in agreement. And there were times I had my mind changed because they had the wisdom from God and were helping me to make better decisions for the church. So if anybody's really interested in why women shouldn't be ordained, Professor Weinrich is probably one of the best teachers of that. He, in fact, wrote some articles that changed the mind of ELCA pastors, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America pastors, who at one time thought that women should be ordained, and they changed their mind after listening to Dr. Weinrich. So there are plenty of arguments against that. I often say this, all before a woman becoming a preacher when a man is able to have a baby. Why can't men have babies? Well, that's the way God has set up creation. And therefore, it's very clear that women are not to be pastors, but it doesn't mean that they cannot be important ingredients in the church with the wisdom that God gives to them. So that's how I would answer your first question there.
So tell us the story of Deborah and how she has to really cajole the men of Israel into standing up, literally getting up and taking what the Lord promised to give them.
Yes, the book of Judges comes after the book of Joshua. So Joshua takes the people into the promised land and he does a lot of conquests. But chapter 1 of Judges says that some of the people under Joshua failed to complete the conquest entirely. So they ended up living with individuals who worshiped false idols, etc. And the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus Christ, in chapter 2 says that because of the disobedience of Israel, he's not going to drive their enemies out before them. They shall become thorns in your sides. And as soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. So you made a point earlier that it's kind of a cycle. The people are faithful to God, and then they fall away from faith. In fact, a lot of these chapters begin, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served other gods. So what happened is God was provoked to anger, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. Now, why would he do that? Because he says in verse 20, chapter 2, these people have transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers and have not obeyed my voice. I'm therefore going to allow this to happen in order to test Israel whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord. And so the book of Judges is this cycle where the people are faithful, then they fall away, then they get plundered, then they pray to the Lord, and God sends them a judge to help them out. In chapter 3, Othniel, O-T-H-N-I-E-L, is the first judge that comes and takes care of the king of Mesopotamia that's hurting the people of Israel for 8 years. And after he's done his work with the help of the Lord, it says the land rests for 40 years. Then the king of Moab comes against Israel because the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord again. And this man, Ehud, E-H-U-D, is sent by God, and he takes care of the enemy, and once more the land has rest for 80 years. Now, in chapter 4, we hear about the reason for Deborah. What happened was Jabin, who is king of Canaan, he was now the one that God had sent to disturb Israel because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And there was a commander of his army, Sisera, S-I-S-E-R-A, and he had 900 chariots of iron. And so that's very powerful weaponry. And he oppressed the people of Israel for 20 years. Then Deborah is introduced as a prophetess, as we've already talked about, and the people came to her for judgment. And what she did, she summoned Barak, B-A-R-A-K, and he was kind of leader of the armies of Israel. And she said, what is going to happen, the Lord has told me. Go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000, and I will draw out Sisera. Now, I is referring to God. He's going to draw out the enemy's commander, and I will give him into your hand. Now, Barak hears this from Deborah. And what does he say? Well, if you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. You know, that's like a congregational member saying to the pastor, well, pastor, I need to visit this person and tell him about Jesus, and I'll be glad to make a visit if you come with me. But if you're not willing to come with me, I'm not going either. No. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit in order to share the word of God with friends and relatives. But Barak didn't want to do that, even though there was a promise from the Lord that Sisera, the enemy commander, would be taken into the hands of a woman. So, when Sisera was told that Barak had come up to Mount Tabor, he called out all his chariots, 900 of them. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day to which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand." Now that's an obvious promise that Deborah says to Barak. And so we're really interested to see what is going to happen with Barak's situation where he doesn't want to attack Sisera unless Deborah is with him. And we'll get to that when we get back from the break.
Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Old Testament prophetess and Judge Deborah in Judges chapter 4. Tom is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Majoring in the Minors, The Blood of the Righteous, Lament for a Doomed City, Don't Be Fooled, and The Mission That Goes Beyond the Apostles' Death. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through the story of Old Testament prophetess and Judge Deborah with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday, January the 12th. So, Tom, this is an intriguing story so far. What else does Deborah contribute?
She contributes again, telling the promises from the Lord. And so, when Barak, who is, of course, the leader of the Israelite army, is told to go against the commander of the Canaanite army, Sisera, even though he has 900 chariots, she says, "Does not the Lord go out before you?" That's verse 14 of chapter 4. So then Barak goes down from Mount Tabor, and he has 10,000 Israelites following him. And the next verse, verse 15, "And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword, and not a man was left. Now, this is very important for the Sunday school teacher to get across to the Sunday school students. As you grow older, you're going to run into situations and experiences that you're not sure, I'm not going to be able to get through that. I know I should obey the Lord. I know I should not be dealing with certain kids who are causing me to sin, etc., but I want them to like me. And this is a distinction that is real done by the Sunday school literature by following the wisdom of the world where you are number one and you want to make sure everything helps you versus the wisdom of God when you are sure that obeying God's will is the way to go, which Barak does. Now, the leader of the Canaanites, Sisera, he ends up fleeing on foot to the tent of another woman, Jael, J-A-E-L. Now, he thinks that she's on the side of the Canaanites, and he comes to her tent. She tells him, do not be afraid, but it's very clear that she believes in the Lord properly. He asks for a drink of water, so she gives him some milk to drink, and then he covers him with a rug. And he tells her, stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, is anyone here, say no. But she instead takes a tent peg and a hammer and uses both and kills Sisera while he is under the rug. And then when Barak, who is the leader of the Israelites, show up, she says, come, I will show you the man whom you are seeking. And he goes into her tent, and there lay Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. Then we get to verse 23, which is the summary of the Sunday school lesson. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And he did that by destroying the army and the commander who was of the army, Sisera. And the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against the king of Canaan, Jabin, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. And then chapter 5, I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to listen to and read, because it summarizes what happened. After these Canaanites were destroyed, the land rested for another 40 years until once more they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they fell into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years, and that results in the call of Gideon, who was the next judge. If there's a Bible verse for the kids to remember, and it's in the Sunday school material, it's 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Deborah listened to Jesus when he came to her as the angel of the Lord, and finally even Barak, leader of the Israelite army, listened and believed. We too have Jesus Christ as the power and wisdom of God. And therefore, what he tells us at times doesn't make any sense to us, either because we think we're too weak to accomplish what he's asking us to do, or it just doesn't sound very correct. But this is a wonderful book, the book of Judges, to show how God says that when we do wrong, there are going to be consequences for that wrong. In fact, The Enduring Faith talks about how sin always leads to slavery and ultimate death, trapping me under its control. I enjoy watching certain movies where detectives are trying to figure out who did the crime. And it's almost across every movie that when somebody does a crime, they not only end up with a negative consequence in their life, but they also hurt others. And so this is something that the kids are probably hearing in public schools or around their neighborhood, that we can do whatever we want as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. But doing whatever you want always does end up hurting others. And the Sunday school material encourages the kids to take a sheet of paper and write down where they were wise in something that they did and where they were unwise. And the purpose of that is to show that when they are wise, they're listening to God and His promises. But when they are unwise, they're listening to their personal egos and trying to do that which makes them look good in the eyes of others and to do whatever feels right. So this is a great opportunity to show that if Jesus did what felt right at the end of the Palm Sunday march, He would have extolled Himself as the Messiah, not gone to the cross, done many miracles. Remember, He told His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane He could bring a legion of angels to dispel the guards that had come to arrest Him. He did not do that because He is the wisdom that's often spoken of in the Old Testament, because He is listening to the Father. And often when He does a miracle, like the raising of Lazarus from the dead, He thanks the Father for hearing Him. So we would encourage the Sunday school teachers to tell the students and inform them that you too can hear God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in divine worship. He can be heard in the hymns, in the readings, in the sermon, in the liturgy, and He also can be heard when He speaks to you as you read the Bible at home. So this is a very important point to get across to the children, to help them to understand the distinction between what the world thinks is wisdom versus what we know to be wise, and that is to trust God in the keeping of His promises.
How would you describe the law and gospel of this story of Deborah for the Sunday school children?
I would describe it by giving them a kind of exercise where I would ask them to write down something where they sinned and then to tell us the consequences of that sin. For example, when I was a kid, I was chasing one of my brothers. He ran behind his bedroom door, and I slammed into the door, and I cracked the door. Well, when my dad came home, and he and Mom saw the cracked door, I said, oh, that was due to Jim, that he ran into his room and closed the door so hard that it cracked. Well, it didn't take them long to figure out I was lying about that. And then another consequence I had is Jim didn't like me very much in blaming him for something that I had done. This is true in every sin we do. There's a negative consequence. And that's why the preaching of the law is so important, because it helps people to realize, why am I having such a bad day or bad experience? And it can often be traced back to a sin that you had done, even by thought and word, not just by deed. So we are enslaved by sin and put in the prison of the devil where negative things happen in our life. The gospel is that Jesus Christ rescues us from the oppression of sin by going to the cross and paying the punishment that should have been ours. So rather than getting a consequence of eternal damnation, God forgives us and brings us into heaven, even though we do not deserve it. So the law reminds us, boy, a lot of the problems you're having can often be relegated to the sin that you're doing. But God gives you the strength to get through that. He promises that all things will work together to your good, and he particularly forgives your sins, which means that you are no longer held by God to be accountable for those sins, because Jesus Christ accounted for them by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
We'll post a link to Law and Gospel on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. On the other side, Carol Tobias is going to join us. We're going to be talking with her about abortion legislation in 2021. The conversation, well, might be a short one because the prospects for pro-life legislation have changed so radically in the last month or so. She's president of National Right to Life, and she'll be with us next. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Fornication, that is, sexual intercourse between persons not married to each other, is strictly forbidden by the Scriptures. St. Paul sternly warned the Corinthians, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God." Thus wrote David Ramirez in his article, "Do Not Be Deceived," in the January issue of the Lutheran Witness, Chaste and Decent Life. To read the entire issue on how to live a chaste and decent life, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today, cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org, that's hopebham.org, or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.